Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes I want to light up underneath the no smoking sign. Sometimes I wish they'd tell me how justice got so blind. I wish they'd just leave me alone, 'cause I'm doing alright. You can take your change on down the road and leave me here with mine. 'Cause that ain't my America, that ain't this country's roots. You wanna slam old Uncle Sam, but I ain't letting you.
That's right, if you wanna slam Uncle Sam, I'm not letting you. But if you want to beat the snot out of the politicians and the government pogues, I'm all in. This is Bill Turner, Chairman Washington's Conservative Party. And we're here to paint the Evergreen State red. That's right. We are taking on the Marxist forces that are we're calling the shots, and we are going to paint the Evergreen State red. It may take us a while, but it will happen. And we need you. We need all of you. If you are on the right or the left and you're tired of what's going on in government in the state of Washington, or in the United States of America, then it's time you joined us, because the Conservative Party Washington and the Conservative Party USA is the answer to the corrupt two-party system in the United States of America. Our guest call-in number today for anybody who has questions, comments, concerns is 347-857-1187, and the chat room is open today as well. Please keep your obscenities and extremities inside the chat room at all times. We're going to be talking about the Hedgelian dialect and how it's impacting America. But first, a few updates as to what's going on in the state of Washington. This $15 an hour minimum wage that's going into effect on April 1st, 2015, April Fool's Day, well, closings are occurring across Seattle, upscale Queen Anne Hill to the Little Uncle Restaurant and Gritty Pioneer Square, Boat Street Cafe, Western Avenue out on the waterfront are just a few of the places that are closing their doors because they cannot afford to pay $15 an hour to their staff at the prices that the market will bear. They're already paying 36% of their labor or costs in labor, and they can't afford to raise that. They're running about a 4% profit margin as it is. They can't have higher menu prices with cheaper, lower quality ingredients, run reduced opening times, cutting worker hours, or even fire workers, and still maintain a quality operation. So, once again, the Marxists have got what they asked for, the law of unintended consequences. You wanted $15 an hour, you got $15 an hour, but you got no job. Bravo. Bravo. Now let's take a look at the Puget Sound Regional Council data that reveals transit does not relieve traffic congestion. What? All those hundreds of millions of dollars that have been spent on Puget Sound Transit Commission, all the money that's been dumped into that pit year after year, decade after decade, shows that an increase in transit use does not reduce traffic congestion. According to new information provided by the Puget Sound Regional Council and not reported by any of the press, transit agencies across Puget Sound region logged an 11% boost in ridership between 2010 and 2014, yet the delay on the freeways increased a whopping 52% in the same time period. Based on this study, it's been put out by the Washington Policy Center, all of this green transit is just watermelon communism, and we're urinating in the wind once again. Bravo. Bravo, I say. The People's Republic of Washington continues to lead the way in shining stupidity with tax dollars. It is as if we moved the entire counterculture of the 60s from California to Washington and put them in charge. Oh, we kind of sort of did. Anyway, our guest calling number 347-857-1197. Let's take a look and see what else has been going on. Shift Washington is reporting that the National Archives emails reveal a fear of the White House. Why? Because Barack and the first grifter threaten them on a regular basis. Shift Washington's also reporting that Clinton staffers did not read the deleted emails, so they don't know if they were personal or not. Gawker is suing the State Department to release the Clinton emails and to show that government moves at an ever slowing pace. The Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, an agency that's no longer needed and should be done away with because it's become a giant hole that we throw money into, and the watermelon communists, green on the outside, red on the inside, use it to impact the market, impact you and I, steal our land, steal our rights, and take our liberty. They intend to take 100 years to fulfill a Freedom of Information Act request. The Competitive Enterprise Institute, a free market group, is suing the Environmental Protection Agency over its extremely slow release of emails related to Chief Lisa Jackson's alias email account. The Competitive Enterprise Institute says that at its current pace, EPA will fulfill the group's government records request in a little over 100 years. It's time to abolish the EPA amongst other agencies. That's not what we're here to talk about with this show today, but come on, let's face it. Department of Energy, created during the Carter administration, was designed to bring down the cost of energy. Instead, cost of energy has risen. Was designed to bring down our use of foreign oil. Instead, our use of foreign oil has risen. Time for the Department of Energy to go. Department of Education, Yeah, that's good use of funds. We take education funds from the state, send it to the feds, pay for a bunch of salaries and people to sit around and come up with stuff like Common Core, then send it back to the states. And the states have their own departments of education, and education should be local anyway. So let's abolish the Department of Education. The feds do not need to be wetting their beak in the funds that are local. It's as if the mafioso set this up. Time to put it to a stop. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the Hedgeland dialect. So let's talk about it. What is the Hedgeland dialect? In 1847, the London Communist League, founded by and made up of Karl Marx and Frederick Engels, the gentleman that gave us the Communist Manifesto, used Hegel's theory of dialect to back up their economic theory of communism. Now, in the 21st century, Hegelian Marxist thinking affects our entire social and political structure. The Hegelian dialect is the framework for guiding our thoughts and actions into conflicts that lead us to a predetermined solution. If we do not understand how the Hegelian dialect shapes our perceptions of the world, then we do not know how we are helping to implement the communist vision that is overtaking us. When we remain locked into dialectical thinking, we cannot see out of the box. Hegel's dialectic is the tool which manipulates us into a frenzied circular pattern of thought and action. Every time we fight for or defend against an ideology, we are playing a necessary role in Marx and Engels' grand design to advance humanity into a dictatorship of the proletariat. The synthetic Hegelian solution to all these conflicts can't be introduced unless we all take a side that will advance the agenda. The Marxist globalist agenda is moving along at breakneck speed, and the only way to completely stop the privacy invasions, expanding domestic police powers, land grabs, insane wars against inanimate objects and transient verbs, covert actions, and outright assaults on individual liberties is to step outside the dialect. This releases us from the limitations of controlled and guided thought. We're being brainwashed, folks. Stay with me here. I know this can be boring, but pay attention. You've been brainwashed for decades. It's time to wake the hell up. When we understand what motivated Hegel, we can see his influence on all of our destinies. Hegelian conflicts steer every political arena on the planet, from the United Nations to the major American political parties, all the way down to local school boards and community council. Dialogues and consensus building are primary tools of the dialect. And terror and intimidation are also acceptable formats for obtaining the goal. The ultimate third way agenda is world government. Once we get what's really going on, we can cut the strings and move our lives in original directions outside the confines of the dialectical madness. Focusing on Hegel's and Engels' ultimate agenda and avoid getting caught up in the impenetrable theories of social evolution. Gives us the opportunity to think and act our way towards freedom, justice, and genuine liberty for all. Today, the dialect is active in every political issue that encourages taking sides. We can see it in environmentalists instigating conflicts against private property owners and Democrats against Republicans, Republicans against Democrats, Greens against Libertarians, Communists against Socialists, Neocons against traditional conservatives, community activists against individuals, pro-choice versus pro-life, Christians against Muslims, isolationists against interventionalists, peace activists against the war hawks. No matter what the issue, the invisible dialect aims to control both the conflict and the resolution of differences and leads everyone involved into a new cycle of conflicts. We're definitely not in Kansas anymore. And it is time we all woke up. Dialectic, the Hegelian dialect process of change in which a concept or its realization passes over into and is preserved and fulfilled by its opposite. It's a development through the stages of thesis, antithesis, and synthesis in accordance with the laws of dialectical materialism. Stay with me, I know it's boring. Any systemic reasoning, exposition, or argument that juxtaposes opposed or contradictory ideas and usually seeks to resolve their conflict, the dialectical tension or opposition between two interacting forces or elements becomes dialectical materialism, the Marxist theory that maintains the material basis of a reality, constantly changing it in a dialectical process and the priority of matter over mind. Wikipedia describes it thus: Hegel's dialect often appears broken up for convenience into three moments called thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. Much Hegel scholarship does not recognize the usefulness of this triadic classification for shedding light on Hegel's thought, although Hegel refers to the two elemental considerations, the idea of freedom as the absolute and final aim, and secondly, the means for realizing it, the subject side of knowledge and will and its life movement and activity. He doesn't use synthesis, but instead speaks of the whole. When we recognize the state as the moral whole and reality of freedom, consequently as the objective unity of these two elements, Hegel uses a system of dialects to explain the whole of the history of philosophy, science, art, politics, and religion. Many modern critics point out that Hegel glosses over history to fit it into his dialectic mold. Beginning in the 60s, Anglo-American Hegel scholarship has attempted to challenge the traditional interpretation of Hegel as offering a metaphysical system. For example, if A, my idea of freedom, conflicts with B, your idea of freedom, then C, neither of us can be free until everyone agrees to be a slave. The Soviet Union was based on the Hegelian dialect, as is all Marxist writing. The Soviets didn't give up the Hegelian reasoning when they supposedly stopped being a communist country. They merely changed the dialectical language to fit the modern version of Marxist thinking called commutarianism. American author Steve Montgomery explores Moscow's adept use of the Hegelian dialect in Glasnost Petrovsko, a modern Potemkin village. A book, however dry, I suggest you read. Now, I know that this material is painful, but stick with me. It's important. It's in all the TV shows, all the news, everything you read, and it's how our government is controlling us. If the ideas, interpretations of experiences, and the sources are all wrong, can a conclusion based on all these wrong premises be sound? The answer is no. Two false premises do not make a sound conclusion, even if the argument follows the formula. Three, four, five, or six false premises do not all combine to make a conclusion sound. You must have at least one sound premise to reach a sound conclusion. Logical mathematical formulas are only the basis for deductive reasoning. Equally important is knowledge of semantics, or considering the meanings of the words used in the argument. Just because an argument fits a formula does not mean the conclusion is sound. Hegel knew this when he designed the dialect. Hegel is an imperialist con artist who established the principles of dialect, of dialectical no reason. Hegel's dialectic has allowed globalists to lead simple, capable, free-born men and women back into the superstitious, racist, and unreasonable age of imperial global dominance. National governments represent people who are free from imperial controls over private property, trade, and production. National governments protect their workers from imperial slavery by protecting the workers' markets. But if you use Hegel's logical Marxism, the only way to protect people from slavery is to become the slave trader, just for a while. It's twisted logic, but it's why cons are so successful. And Hegel twisted it in such a way as for it to be impenetrable. Like Hegel and Marx, the best street con knows his spiel has to use logic to bend and distort the story. And good cons weave their lies on logical mathematical progression. The fallacy in the language, not in the math. Detective Philip Wartz, in a 2001 article, Communist-Oriented Policing, has a nice explanation of the dialectical materialism's influence on America. Suggested reading, it's available online. Hegel's theory is basically that mankind is a series of constant philosophical conflicts. Hegel believed that the highest state of mankind can only be attained through constant ideological conflict and resolution. The rules of dialect means mankind can only reach its highest consciousness through endless struggle between ideals and the eventual synthesizing of all opposites. Hegel's dialect taught all conflict takes man to the next level. But in the final analysis, his ideology simply justifies conflict and endless war. It is also the reasoning behind using military power to export illogical version of freedom and false democratic ideals. The reason we call it justification for modern conflicts and war with impunity is because no one can prove Hegel's theory is true, no matter how many new words they make up to define it. And if you look back at what they call terrorism, man-called disaster, and other things, how many new theories they come up with to give it validity, we can prove beyond a doubt it's all bullshit. And we can show the final equation in Hegel's dialect is simple. A, the, your nation goes here, the United States system of political economy. B, state-controlled world communism. C, state-controlled global communitarianism. The Hegelian dialect is the ridiculous idea that constant conflict and continual merging of opposite ideologies as established by extreme right or left belief systems will lead spiritual mankind into final perfection. Americans understood man's spiritual quest to be outside the realm of government control. Hegel's brilliance rests in his ability to confuse and obfuscate true motives of the planners and millions of people worldwide that have been trying to make sense of it and why it doesn't work for the last 150 years. But like the AA definition of insanity, the world keeps trying it over and over and expecting different results. You cannot make this work. When Friedrich Engels and Karl Marx based their communist theory on Hegel's theory of spiritual advancement via constant resolution of differences, they based the theory of communism on an unproven theory. While Darwin's theory of evolution is still being debated, there's absolutely no proof that societies are continually evolving. When Engels and Marx later based their communist theory on Lewis Henry Morgan's theory of anthropology in 1877, they again based the theory of communism on an unproven theory. All of this is based on a dialectical theory that has not been proven, has failed time and time again, because it leads people down a false path using a false narrative, and we must stop using the language. We must recognize it in the news broadcasts. We must recognize it in the speeches. We must recognize it when we hear it from the politicians, and we must step outside of it, and we must embrace the liberty that we have, and we must all of the people who use it on their use of it. Speak freely, live freely, and refuse to be drawn into the Hegelian dialect. Google it, read it for yourselves, and learn about it. God bless all of you who have listened today. Learn about this for yourselves. Share it with your friends. God bless the United States of America, and may we all live free, stand free, and do not bend a knee to tyranny. I will stand with you, and I ask that you stand with me. Join the Conservative Party in your state. Join the Conservative Party Washington. It is time. It is our time. Thank you.